This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. We thank and praise Allah the Almighty, our Lord and Master and Creator, Sustainer and Nourisher, the one true God. Allah the only one deserving of all of our praise and our gratitude. We thank Him for all of His unlimited blessings upon us. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of His bounties that we cannot even enumerate. We ask Allah for forgiveness for all our shortcomings and the times we had a lapse in judgment. And we ask Allah to guide us and keep us strong upon guidance. And we ask Allah to shower our beloved messenger with compliments and salutations. Our beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and all of those who follow his tradition, his sunnah until the end of time. May Allah make us of those who listen and recite to the Qur'an and are inspired by it. And may Allah make us of those that are in love with the Messenger and his tradition and follow it and adhere to it. As to what follows, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in the Qur'an and repeats dozens of times because we are in need of repetition. To have taqwa of him, to be conscious and aware, and renew our consciousness and awareness. Because the world we live in is one that takes us away from knowing our Creator. So we are in need of constant reminders, especially as we are about to welcome the month of taqwa, the month of Ramadan, the month where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if we are to be successful in this month, we will exit it being people of increased taqwa and God consciousness. So let us renew our taqwa of Allah as it is His right upon us. And let us make sure that we do not leave this dunya except in a state of submission, fulfilling what Allah commanded and abstaining from what He forbade. That is piety, that is taqwa. As to what follows, my last opportunity with you all, we were able to introduce the topic and remind each other the difference between our physical bodies and our soul. We said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us with physical bodies that are material, physical, tangible. Created from something tangible and physical. Allah said in Surah Taha, مِنْهَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. From it we created you, meaning from the earth, from dirt, from clay, from water. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ. Every living thing was made from water. وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ. And it's only a matter of time before you will be returned to it. It's only a matter of time before we die and we will be buried and put back into the dirt. And our bodies will disintegrate and become one with the dirt. وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. And then it's just yet another amount of time before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extracts us from our graves. We will be resurrected and every creation, every human being will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no avoiding those meetings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also created within us a ruh, a soul, which is not tangible, it is not material, it is not physical. It is heavenly, it is from Allah. Hence the nourishment of the soul, and this is what we discussed last time, nourishing the soul and strengthening its immunity from the different spiritual vices that we are surrounded by, is by reconnecting it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is so much restlessness in the world today. There are so many people that are restless, and much of it has to do with the restlessness of the soul. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the solution in the Qur'an, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Surely with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the souls can find some peace and some harmony. It is through the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being connected to the source of that soul that we will find peace. And just like if somebody were to have a rash on their ankle, if somebody had a rash or a bite or something was itching them on the skin on their ankle, and you came, you said, come here, let me help you with that. Let me alleviate your discomfort and I'll put some of this cream on your hand or on your cheek. Does that make any sense? Is that logical? So the treatment for the illnesses of the soul must come from the source of that soul, which is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Overindulgence of the physical body does not alleviate the restlessness of the soul. And that's why in the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to abstain for certain periods of time from some things that are indulgences of the physical body, so that there can be more energy and focus on the soul and how to nourish it and how to cure it of its illnesses. The scholars, they made a very interesting parable as to the relationship between the soul and the body. And I had a personal experience that resonated very well with this metaphor. Some of the ulama, they said that the body and the soul is like a horse and a rider. And anybody who has some experience dealing with horses or riding with horses may understand this. And if you don't, then you should go and have that experience. There are multiple ahadith and narrations of the Prophet ﷺ, by the way, as a tangent, praising the creation of the horses. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Al-khaylu ma'qudun fi nawasiha al-khayr," that horses have in their forelock, attached to them is goodness. There is khayr and goodness in them. And the Prophet and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, in one occasion, actually swore by horses and their galloping and the dust that they kick up and the sparks. وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحًا فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحًا فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبْحًا فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقْعًا فَوَسَطْنَ بِهِ جَمْعًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by the horse and this creation of Allah, and he swears by whatever he wishes. And look at how the horse carries its master and drives into the thick of a battlefield, into the opposing army. When people would fight on horseback, they would drive with their horses in the midst of an oncoming army. What kind of creation is this? That it would ride with its master right into its peril and potential death and destruction. How obedient is a horse to its master? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the jawabul qasam, the response of that oath. Why is Allah swearing by all of these things? O human being, look how strong and powerful, look how amazing and impressive the horse is. Look how obedient it is to its master to drive itself into the middle of an attacking army. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٌ. By all of these oaths, surely the human being, man, is ungrateful to their Lord. O human being, look at how amazing this horse is in its obedience to its master. Can you not be obedient to your master in such a way? Can we not exemplify and show some of that obedience to our Lord and Master and Creator? So I digress. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger have utilized the horse to show us and give us metaphors so we can understand. The ulama said the body and the soul is like a horse and a rider. And subhanAllah, I will share with you, a few years ago, all my life I have been impressed and amazed by horses, but at the same time scared of them. Huge animals, they have a mind of its own. Until one day I was finally able to ride on a horse, and the trainer and the breeder of the horses was a very kind, wise man, and he said, listen, you have to be very confident. He said, horses are very proud and they're very intuitive. If you are scared or you are sheepish, the horse will feel that from you and will not obey you and will take you for a ride and will not listen to you. So you have to be strong and you have to mentally overpower the horse if you want to physically steer it in the direction you want to go. And so he showed me how to do it. This is how you get on the horse. This is how you stop. This is how you turn. This is what you do. I said, looks pretty simple and easy enough. He made it seem very easy. So I got onto that horse. That was a mission on its own. And then we started riding and I am pulling with all of my force and the horse would not stop. He said, pull on the reins, it will stop immediately. When he did it with one hand. Pull, and the horse came to a stop. I'm pulling with both of my hands, and I'm heavier and bigger than that horse trainer. I could not get that horse to stop because my heart was trembling. I was scared of the animal. I'm trying to get it to go and it starts prancing and running away. Where is it going to take me? That was quite an adventurous afternoon. But alhamdulillah, no one was hurt. It was a learning experience. The ulama said, such is the comparison of the body and the soul. The body with all of its physical desires, the ego, with its whims and wishes and love for luxury and comforts, wishes to steer the soul in a direction that only leads to satisfying those whims and that appetite. And if the soul cannot be confident enough and strong enough to control those desires, then we will be taken for a ride that will lead to our own demise and destruction. That's why Imam al-Ghazali, he said, your soul is yearning for tawbah and repentance. Your soul is yearning. It's from Allah. The soul wants to go back to its source. It wants to be connected with its source, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, the soul is yearning to be connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهَوَاكُمْ يَمْنَعُكُمْ مِنَ التَّوْبَةِ But your whims and desires are preventing you and impeding you from repenting and turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَوْ جَهَّزْتُمْ جَيْشًا فَرَّ الْعَدُوُ And so he said, if you prepare and you mobilize an army, your enemy will be scared and will run away and leave you alone. If somebody, if a bully wants to attack you and they see you weak and alone and they are coming to attack you and you make a motion and you wave and behind you comes a huge army, what is that bully going to do? Oh, we have no problem here. How's it going? Nice to see you. Good day. They will turn around and not harm you. فَلَوْ جَهَّزْتُمْ جَيْشًا فَرَّ الْعَدُوُ So mobilize an army for your soul. Mobilize and put together an army for your soul to battle and tame and control the enemy of whims and desires. And that is the key of Ramadan. Either we will be the rider and the one in charge, or we will be driven and we will be taken in a direction that will destroy us. Which one do we want? And upon which path are we headed now? As we welcome Ramadan, let's analyze and assess our current condition. So Ramadan is a time for us to recalibrate. Recalibrate our moral compass. To have a life of discipline. To be a believer in essence is to live a life of discipline. To have obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of the commandments, all of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do in our days and our nights, the schedule that Allah and His Messenger have created for us is so that we can have a life upon an upright moral compass. And the past 11 months, we have been swaying away. Our compass is not calibrated. And Ramadan is a time for us to recalibrate and adjust and become believers who are living a life of discipline. And reflect upon this. The ulama said that, can you imagine during the few days and nights, during the few days of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made things that are normally lawful impermissible. There are a few things that in the days of Ramadan, Allah has made them impermissible. And they are generally speaking lawful. So can you imagine how unlawful the permanently forbidden are? There are a few things during Ramadan. They're the rest of the year perfectly lawful. In Ramadan, Allah has made them impermissible. So can you imagine those things that are always 24/7, 365, impermissible and displeasing to Allah? Can you imagine how unlawful they also are during the month of Ramadan? Will we be the one in control, or will we be driven? Will we ride and tame and control, or will we be the ones that are driven to our demise? Someone once complained to a scholar, and they said, you know, in the olden days, the scholar would teach and remind, and people would be invigorated and revived, and people would change their lives. But he said, nowadays, we hear something, perhaps we are moved by it, and then Nothing happens the day after. The scholar responded with some words that have sorrow in them. But it's important for us to wake each other up. He said, كَانَ عُلَمَاءُ السَّلَفِ أَيْقَاظًا وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامًا فَنَبَّهَ الْيَقِظُ النَّائِمُ وَفِي زَمَانِنَا الْعُلَمَاءُ نِيَامٌ وَالنَّاسُ مَوْتًا. He said, in the olden days, scholars were awake, aware, acute, and many people were asleep. So the one awake was able to shake and wake up the sleeping. But unfortunately in our days, many of those of scholarship are asleep, and many of the common folk are dead. So how can the sleeping one awake the dead? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran said, أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, can you imagine someone who's dead and we pump them back again with life and they had light? Can you imagine someone that was dead but we gave them back again life, we resuscitated them? And on top of that, life gave them light so they can travel and traverse and go through the course of the difficulties of this life with light and with wisdom. That is what the month of Ramadan is here for us to take advantage of, to wake up. So will we wake up or will we remain asleep? The choice is ours. أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه. Repent to Allah, for He is the most forgiving, most merciful. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. قال الله تبارك وتعالى ولقد وصينا الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم وإياكم أن اتقوا الله. After thanking and praising Allah and beseeching Him to shower His compliments and salutations upon the beloved messenger, we remind one another that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, surely we have commanded the nations before you who also received scripture, and you, O Ummah of the Quran, and you, O Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to have taqwa of Allah. The universal, timeless message from Allah to all nations and communities is to have taqwa, to be people of consciousness, not to be those who are heedless. Imam al-Shafi'i, it is said, the great scholar Imam al-Shafi'i, for those that like to have lists and rosters, perhaps we can say he is arguably, if not definitely, among the top 10 of the greatest ulama of this ummah. Imam al-Shafi'i, it is said in a report that when he was ill and approaching his death, one of his close companions of learning and research, Imam al-Muzani, came to him and said, what is the condition of your soul? He did not inquire about the condition of his body, but he said, tell me about the condition of your soul. It is said that Imam al-Shafi'i said, أَصْبَحْتُ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا رَاحِلًا. He said to him, أَصْبَحْتُ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا رَاحِلًا وَلِإِخْوَانِي مُفَارِقًا وَلِكَأْسِ الْمَنِيَّةِ شَارِبًا وَلِسُوءِ أَعْمَالِي مُلَاقِيًا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ وَارِدًا ثُمَّ أَنْشَأَ يَقُولُ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ ثم أنشأ يقول ولما قسى قلبي وضاقت مذاهبي جعلت الرجا مني لعفوك سلما تعاظمني ذنبي فلما قارنته بعفوك ربي كان عفوك أعظما. It is said that when Imam al-Muzani came to him and said, what is the condition of your soul? He said to him, I have met this day preparing to leave this dunya and preparing to bid farewell to my loved ones, and preparing to drink from the bitter cup of death, and preparing to meet and come before my Lord, I cannot avoid that, and preparing to come and encounter with my mistakes and my poor choices. Then he began to tear, and he said some lines of poetry, and he said, when I have no other way of going except to leave this life. There is no other option available to me. I have constructed for myself with hope between me and you, O Allah, a ladder. I have used hope in your mercy as a ladder to reach you, O Allah. And this is Imam Shafi'i speaking. With so many great achievements that until this day, the Ummah is benefiting and indebted to him for. But he is regretting his poor choices. But even then, he does not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. And he feels as though his hope in Allah's mercy is a ladder that connects him. And he says, "Ta'azamani dhanbi." He says, "I am so taken aback by the colossal amount of my mistakes and my sins. But then I gazed and I looked and I observed your mercy and your compassion and your forgiveness, O Allah. And I compared the two, and I am now sure without any doubt that my sins don't stand a chance in front of your forgiveness and mercy, O Allah." That Allah's mercy is far greater. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ used to congratulate his community. "And I will congratulate you all." And the scholar said, this is the best congratulation for the believers to welcome the month of Ramadan. The Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith recorded in the book of Ahmad al-Nasa'i, and the scholar said it is authentic, "قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ." Ramadan has arrived before you. "شَهْرٌ مُبَارَكٌ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ صِيَامَهُ." It is a blessed month. There are so many benefits, so much goodness in this month. And Allah has commanded you to fast in this month. Allah has commanded you to fast. So obey Allah's command. تُفْتَحُ فِيهِ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ. The gates of the heavens are opened for you. وَتُغْلَقُ فِيهِ أَبْوَابُ الْجَحِيمِ. And the gates of the hellfire are closed. وَتُغَلُّ فِيهِ الشَّيَاطِينِ. And the devils are chained. The devils are chained. فِيهِ لَيْلَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ مَنْ حُرِمَ خَيْرَهَا فَقَدْ حُرِمٍ. There is one night in this month that is greater than 1,000 months. And whoever is not able to take advantage of the opportunities of this month, then they have suffered a great, great loss. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make us amongst those that are in a state of loss. May Allah make us of those that are successful. May Allah make us of those that are excited for the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who feel the weight of their sins and are eager for the month of Ramadan to feel light with the forgiveness of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who are successful in reading His book, in increasing in charity, in fasting. May Allah make us of those who benefit far more from this month. May Allah prevent us from being of those who only get out of Ramadan hunger and thirst. A few announcements before we close. We have an important program tonight with our Imam Sheikh Muhammad Faqih around the topic of Ramadan. The month of salvation is the title, and you are all encouraged to attend and benefit from that. In addition, there is a new affordable Hajj package that has been released with Sheikh Mustafa Umar, also from our community. And there is also an event, a matrimonial event, on the 8th of June, but it is specifically for those catered for those that are above the age of 40. You can find out about all of these events and many more on the posters and the information on your way out. And as we come to a close regarding the Ramadan announcement, we have said it before, and we will repeat again that the policy of the masjid here, your masjid and your community, follows the long-standing jurisprudential opinion of the scholars and the policy adopted here and by many councils of scholars, that we await for global signing of the crescent to announce and affirm the starting and the ending of the month of Ramadan. There will be an announcement inshallah ta'ala on Saturday night, tomorrow night, if there is any credible sighting of the moon. However, that is not expected to be the case, and so the most likely expectation is that the first of Ramadan will be on Monday and Taraweeh will begin on Sunday night. But stay tuned to the masjid's website and email list and the various social media accounts for the announcement, inshallah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And as we close, let us remember those amongst us that are ill. May Allah grant them strength and good health. And those who have passed away, may Allah forgive them and grant them mercy and forgiveness. Allahumma shfi mardana wa mardal muslimin. وارحم اللهم موتانا وموتى المسلمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله